Griffin and I walked into the coffee shop on the Shadow Ridge University campus extra early the next morning. The night before hadn't been as relaxing as I'd hoped because Rosemary had watched a movie with us. I'd been on edge, waiting for her to make Killian or Sierra angry again. She hadn't, and the night had been pleasant, but the anticipation had kept me a little tense. The inside of Shadow Ridge Coffee looked like a standard coffee shop. A few tables were scattered around the room, and two espresso machines were positioned in the center of the counter, with a cash register on the right. Carter walked out from the back, and his face fell when he found the two of us there. I snatched an apron from the hook on the wall behind the counter, refusing to let his reaction bother me. Of course, my return made him tense because whoever had ordered him to drug me was probably watching.
It's so good to have you back.
The sulfuric stench of a lie wafted around us.
Just act normal, or you're gonna get us all killed. Maybe this wasn't a smart idea after all.
We got here early so you could hang out and get comfortable before your classes. We have to act normal if we want this to work. I kissed him and then went to the cash register.
God, remember, no PDA here. And I thought you and Killian were bad.
Right. Killian did kiss her often. I wonder what else they might have done in here when no one was looking.
And there was Luna. I'd figured she and I would have it out soon. No better time than the present. The insinuation that Killian and I might have had sex had Griffin visibly shaking beside me. I touched his arm, trying to calm him.
You know that's not even remotely true.
Luna sashayed to the cash register and flipped her golden bronze hair over her shoulder. Her Caribbean blue eyes landed on my hand, and she straightened her back, probably trying to appear as tall as possible, despite being 2 inches shorter than me.
I wonder where you've touched Killian prior to you and Griffin getting together.
That bitch wanted to cause problems. But little did she know that my relationship with Killian hadn't been like that. We'd been exclusive, but only to prevent her from trying to hook Killian up with her best friend. Griffin was fully aware, so the only person he was getting angry with was her.
For someone who has so much interest in Griffin, you're very focused on Killian's and my former relationship.
Well, I just want to make sure that Griffin has fully thought through the implications of being with you.
I swear, if she doesn't shut up...
He has, just like he thought out not wanting to be with you.
It's funny. You're doing a whole lot of talking, and he's remaining quiet.
Luna, we're not open yet. Why don't you come back in 10 minutes when everything is open and ready?
She didn't even acknowledge the poor guy and took a few steps closer to Griffin. She pouted as she reached for him.
It's not too late.
Do not touch me. In fact, don't come near me or Dove ever again.
Are you fucking serious? She's an outsider who screwed your best friend and you want her instead of me?
He not only wants me, he chose me.
I pointed at the faint teeth mark scar on my neck.
The decision has been made, and Killian has given his blessing, so why don't you leave like Carter asked, and maybe don't bother coming back?
Tell me this is some kind of joke. This can't be real.
It is real, and you need to get it through your head that you and I will never be together. I never wanted you, and you knew it. The only reason I became your friend in the first place and tolerated your grand delusions was because of your father. I didn't want tension between him and me, but I was being a coward.
That's not true.
She didn't notice the trickle of people entering the coffee shop now that we were open. Carter's face fell as if realizing that, once again, I was causing a scene. In a way, he should have been thankful. I'd bet that my employment here was helping business because people wanted to come by in case something else happened. I probably should get a raise.
We kissed that one.
The fact that his lips had been on hers rattled not only me, but my wolf as well. I didn't have a right to be angry. The instance obviously occurred before we committed to each other, but the thought of his lips on anyone else's made me see red.
Don't change the story. You got me drunk and kissed me, trying to do more. Even in my drunken state, I pushed you off me.
But that's not true.
The sulfuric smell of a lie wafted around us. A few of the shifters who had walked in wrinkled their noses at the rancid smell. Her body stiffened, and she glanced over her shoulder, seeming to realize that we had an audience.
She must have been so caught up in her anger that she hadn't noticed when they'd entered.
Look, it's obvious that he's never been into you. Ever. It's not my fault, even if you can't see it that way.
He's confused, that's all. It makes better sense for him to be with me. I'm going to be part of the council in the future, taking over my father's spot. I know how things work in the city. I decided to come to college to get the best education so I could be valuable in the future.
Maybe that's all true, but you didn't make those plans until I decided to come here.
Griffin, don't do this. We're good for each other.
Listen, I'm not sure how much clearer I can make this for you. He's claimed me. I've moved in with him. He's never been interested in you. And you're coming off pretty pathetic right now.
You're such a bitch. You will learn your place sooner or later.
Or maybe you'll be the one who actually figures it out.
One of the first alpha lessons Dad had taught me was when I started elementary school. Another shifter there didn't like me immediately. Some boy who was the alpha heir of his father's pack. He could sense my strong wolf, and because of our animal nature, he tried to assert his dominance. Dad told me that standing down from a bully, especially a supernatural one, only encouraged future mistreatment. I hadn't believed Dad at first, but each day the bullying grew worse until I finally made the boy submit to me. He didn't return to school the next day. This was the same situation, but instead of a boy, it was a girl vying for her sexist father's approval. There was no telling how she'd grown up, and judging by the way Dick had acted at the house yesterday, he was probably the reason that Luna was so desperate to be with Griffin. But Dick was never going to change, and she probably didn't want to see that. Maybe at one time I could have felt bad for her, but not now. Not anymore. She was old enough to make her own decisions, and her soul was darkening on her own accord.
You don't want to mess with me. You have no clue what I'm capable of.
And you don't know anything about me. You may not like me. Hell, the feeling is mutual. But I'm Griffin's mate, and I'm not going anywhere.
I want to add, this is the last time you get a reprieve from talking to my mate like that. If you so much as look at her in a hateful manner, we'll become enemies. I don't give a flying fuck if Dick is your dad. Do I make myself clear?
This isn't over.
Oh, but it is.
I lifted my chin and laid my head on Griffin's shoulder. We had presented a united front, and there wasn't a damn thing she could do about it. Her irises turned navy before she spun on her heel and marched past the growing line of people and out the door.
Dove, I swear, there is never a dull moment with you around.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I wished that wasn't the case. At some point, things had to calm down. Surely.
The next few days flew by. Luckily, Luna didn't come back. She'd left with her tail between her legs. But if she was anything like her father, that wouldn't last long. She'd come back at me, but when Griffin wasn't around. I counted out the drawer as Griffin entered the shop. He scanned the area like he expected to find Dick or Luna inside.
Stand down. Only Carter and I are here.
That does not make me feel any better. He's the one who injected you with a drug and handed you over to that bear shifter.
True, but he's on our side now.
Supposedly.
Carter walked out of the kitchen and behind the counter.
Oh, yay. Your boyfriend is here while we're closing. Like he has been the entire week.
Mate. And sorry if I don't like her being alone with you.
I made a mistake.
We were supposed to be acting normal, and if anyone was watching closely, our cover was blown.
Let's not talk about this now. Carter has been a good friend.
Hopefully that last sentence would throw anyone off if they were somehow listening or keeping an eye out. No one would expect me to call him that if we knew what he'd done. I closed the till and smiled sweetly at Griffin. We needed to act upbeat and not worried.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah. We'll see you later, man.
Griffin stood and waved at Carter. He took my hand and we walked out the door together.
If you keep acting angry with him, he'll be hesitant to help us if they call.
I usually agree with you, but not on this one. Because he knows I'm pissed, he'll call first thing.
He kissed my cheek as we entered the hallway between the campus bookstore and cafeteria. The seating inside and the picnic tables just outside the glass doors were full. The view out back was beautiful, with the scenery of the river and woods. The scents of maple and redwood swirled in the air. Most of the shifters were outside, while the vampires were mostly inside. Maybe he had a point. Carter did seem upset that Killian and Griffin were mad at him. In a way, those two had been angrier than I had been, and I was the one who'd been kidnapped. Granted, if something happened to either one of them, I wouldn't be quick to forgive either. We turned down the hallway to the front doors. The walls were the standard institutional beige, and the floor a warm gray tile. A few students passed by us, heading in the opposite direction as we passed by the second hallway, which housed various administrative departments. Griffin opened the wooden front double doors and waved me through. Of course, the scent of honey vanilla musk overpowered my nose. The bitch was here. Again. My gaze found Luna sitting on one of the benches in front of the school. Her focus had already been set on us, like she was waiting for us to come outside.
Ignore her.
Griffin angled us so that he walked in front of her like a barrier. My natural instinct was to move so I was on that side, but he wanted to make a point to her that he would protect me. I couldn't dissuade him even if I wanted to. He wasn't trying to make me look weak. He was showing that he had my back. She glared as we walked by, but didn't say anything, which unnerved me. She liked to run her mouth, and her not doing so made me think she had ulterior motives. We continued past her and soon climbed into Griffin's navigator and headed home.
Should we be nervous that she didn't say anything to us?
No, she gives me the cold shoulder whenever she's mad at me. She'll be trying to talk to me again soon enough. Just enjoy the quiet.
He sounded so sure, but the quiet was what scared me. I reached over and took his hand, enjoying the feel of his skin. A few days later, I found Rosemary in the living room, pacing the room like she'd been on edge.
How did everything go at the coffee shop?
Luna hasn't come in since the incident, so other than her staying away, nothing out of the ordinary.
Killian walked out of the kitchen and joined us.
Well, Rosemary here has been pacing the room since she got back. Each day she gets more amped up. She's been a whole lot more nervous about Sterling going to the coffee shop than she let on.
Wait, he was smiling at Rosemary. What dimension had I entered? They had seemed to be getting along more amicably the past few days, but I hadn't expected them to be friendly.
If you've been that worried, why didn't you go keep an eye on her?
Because Carter and I flew off together the morning I brought him to talk to you, so if I looked protective and whoever is behind all this was watching, they might become alarmed. We have to be smart.
Killian tensed, somehow adding more tension to the air.
Carter just linked with me. He said Rosemary needs to meet him. They finally made the call.
The ride to Shadow Lake passed in a tense silence. One of Griffin's hands was on the navigator's steering wheel, while the other one gripped my leg like I might disappear, as if his grasp was the only reason I was still sitting beside him. Killian sat behind my seat, breathing heavily with his own anxiety.
I can't believe I'm coming back here.
Wait, what do you mean?
Something must have been bothering him more than I realized. He didn't respond, and Griffin linked with me.
His family died where we're heading.
Oh my God. Killian, you don't have to come.
Hell yes, I do. I'm not having the two people I consider family go here without me. Never again.
I already felt like I was suffocating, and their stress-filled demeanors only increased mine. But there wasn't anything I could do about it. If I reacted, it would cause them to become even more stressed. Besides, to be fair, if one of them were in the same situation, I'd feel the same way. They were upset because they cared. And even though I was miserable because of it, I wouldn't change them feeling this way for the world. Both of them were my family.
Okay, but if it gets to be too much...
Please, stop. I'm going. It'll be fine. We aren't going to hang out. We'll be dealing with shit, so I won't have time to think about it.
Are you sure he won't fuck this up?
Dude, how many times do we have to go through this? He's meeting Rosemary in the woods behind the Pack neighborhood, and he's willingly letting her fly him to Shadow Lake to meet us to ensure he isn't followed. You need to keep your attention on the road and make sure no one is following us.
Including any damn crows. I still hated that one. I'd been staring out the windshield, paying more attention to the sky than the road behind us. My stalker's first crow was dead, but there was no telling whether he had another that had stepped in. Wow, I might be as sexist as Dick. Why couldn't the bad guy be a girl? Great, I was losing it. Scolding myself and having internal debates revealed that little nugget.
I'm so glad I shot that bastard.
That was too kind after everything he'd done. I plan to pluck out each feather one by one before providing a slow and painful death.
Damn, Sterling. And here I've been thinking that you were kind and empathetic, only killing when required. But then you spout off something like that.
I'd planned on killing the bear shifter who attacked me, but when he was lying helpless, crumpled on the ground, I just couldn't do it.
Hey, I was teasing. I know, when it came down to it, you wouldn't have been able to kill the crow even though he deserved it.
I won't be nearly as kind as her if Carter tries to put one over on us again.
Hey, everything is going to be okay. He told us they called. I think we're good.
Yeah, man. When he does come through for us, you're going to have to let that go.
Nope, I won't. I get that he grew up with you and Sierra and is part of your pack. But I've known him for a couple of years, ever since I started at Shadow University, and I've never been impressed.
Because he was petrified of you. But I know he'll come through. That's all that matters.
I think he will, too. At least we'll know what we're working with this time.
I'd feel better if Sierra was here, too. If we're walking into a trap, the more people we have, the less risky it'll be.
If she called out or left work early again, that could make whoever is behind this more suspicious.
Don't forget that Dick is already pissed about her missing work the other day. He's been riding her ass ever since.
Dick riding ass, eh? Why am I not surprised?
Dear God, between you and Sierra? Hell, Rosemary even made a similar joke the other day, which freaked me out.
Not even the corner of Griffin's mouth tipped upward, revealing how stressed he really was. Sometimes I worried that my presence in his life was more problematic than good. I feel like ever since you met me, you've been a bottle of nerves.
First off, it's only because I care about you so much. But second, I've always been kind of uptight. I promise I have never felt happier and more content in my entire life.
You sure? I just don't see how.
I'm positive.
He turned onto the road to the lake. The trees were thick on both sides, taking us to a spot in the lot that the shade from the trees covered. Rosemary and Carter were meeting us in a part of the woods a few miles in the direction that the bear had taken me. A few visitors would no doubt be at the lake, so we were going to meet off the path where no one would see us together. Griffin pulled into a parking space, and I gazed around. Several people were swimming in the lake. When I opened the door, the grassy and maple scents informed me that the two who seemed to be a couple were bears, and the other four were vampires. My body tensed. I'd been attacked by two bear shifters already, and was feeling particularly wary of them. The three of us got out of the car, and I grabbed a bag I'd packed for keeping up our charade. Shifters love to run, so us heading into the woods with extra clothing would help create the facade that we were just there to shift and enjoy the outdoors. This place was only about 30 or so minutes away from Shadow Ridge, so we had to pretend to be there for a day of fun. Scanning the surroundings, I looked for any crows or falcons. Those were the only two birds that could shift into both human and animal forms. The only thing that stood out was the group of vampires distorting their beautiful faces to scowl in our direction. What the hell is their problem?
They have to be from Shadow Terrace.
The town on the other side of the river? Someone had mentioned it in passing, but not much more. All I knew was that the town was protected by a vampire clan that provided humans to the vampires in Shadow City when needed.
Yeah. Between us throwing a fit about them funneling humans into Shadow Terrace and the university being built on our side of the river, things are a little tense between the races.
Things between us and the vampires are tense inside the city, too. We have conflicting agendas, except for everyone being on board to build the college. However, with so many humans applying and wanting to visit the campus, we didn't want the school located on the vampire side. We knew it would increase the number of human visitors by a lot, and that would be very tempting for them. So between the wolves and vampires vying for the spot as best protector, and since they both guard a side of the city, the university being located on the wolf side added even more animosity between us.
We stepped into the woods, leaving the scorned vampires behind us. A memory from my first week at the coffee shop passed through my mind. Doesn't the vampire prince Alex attend the university? If there's so much animosity, why is he there?
He does, and it's partly to keep an eye on things, which was a whole thing within itself. During the first few months the university opened, he fed off one of the humans who was touring the school. Ever since then, a shifter has been assigned to escort every vampire around campus so that doesn't happen again.
What? Really? The day I'd met him, he'd seemed nice. But that was part of a vampire's allure. They were manipulative and practiced at hiding their true intentions because darkness was already a part of them. A bloodthirsty monster that tried to make each of them lose their humanity. He can still walk in the sunlight, or at least tolerate it.
He's only drunk from the tap a few times, and has never killed anyone, so he's actually pretty clean. Apparently one of the students had cut the girl or something, trying to make him lose control.
No wonder Dad said vampires were too corrupt to be around. Granted, I was learning that the shifters and vampires needed the Silver Wolves' help to suss the vilest people out. Just like how Griffin didn't sense Dick's true intent. If he had, he wouldn't be letting Dick make decisions on his behalf. Maybe the Silver Wolves leaving the city had been the wrong move after all. I needed to talk to him about that, but there was always something more pressing going on. Wait, they tried to make him lose his humanity?
Yes. Shadow City has come far, but there are still some circles trying to get ahead. It's hard at times to figure out who is friend or foe.
This could be a soap opera. Silence descended between us as the trees thickened. Griffin took the lead, heading to the spot Rosemary had directed us. He reached back and held my hand like he needed to make sure I remained there. Killian walked behind me, and when I looked back, I saw him glancing around, no doubt looking for any signs that we were being followed or at risk of imminent attack. I kept my eyes skyward. No way was another damn bird going to spy on us. Luckily, I didn't see or hear anything suspicious. My heart couldn't help but balloon with hope. Could we actually get ahead of whoever was hunting me after all? Griffin linked, his pace increasing.
We're almost there.
He was as eager to arrive as I was. In fact, I was beyond ready for it all to be over. I'd love to see what a relationship with Griffin would be like without this constant threat hovering over us. I understood his position within the council would always make things tense, and he'd always have enemies, but hopefully not people who'd put our lives at risk every single day.
Are they there yet?
Yeah. Carter linked me when he pulled into the lot. They're waiting on us. He's scared that Rosemary will kill him.
Almost as if on cue, I heard Rosemary's voice.
I swear to God, if you scream like that on the way back, I won't drop you gently.
You need me. At least until this is over. I ain't scared.
You can still do what needs to be done with a broken leg, so don't get cocky.
You wouldn't. Dove wouldn't like that.
Dove isn't my boss. I don't need her blessing or permission.
Oh, dear God. She was going to make the poor guy piss his pants before we even had a conversation. The three of us hurried toward them, and I purposely stepped on a branch, hoping that would prevent them from going at it.
Well, they're on their way, so... Ow! You slapped me!
Why do you always feel the need to state the obvious?
Okay, there went that strategy. Obviously, Rosemary didn't care if we were close, which wasn't surprising. The two of them came into view, and Carter was holding a hand over his left cheek. I swear, the two of you bring out the worst in each other. And to think you took Rosemary's shit at the coffee shop when I started working there.
Because I'm a professional. And all bets were off the first time she flew my ass up in the sky. All I could see were clouds, not even the earth below.
Let's focus. Now spill.
Fine. They want it to go down tomorrow. Dude, this still hurts.
Carter, man, if you know what's best for you, focus.
They want me to send her out back to take out the garbage around 7 in the morning so they can kidnap her before the campus gets busy. If they don't get her, my brother loses a hand.
Well, at least he has another one.
Stop it. He will not. because they're going to capture me.
Like hell they are.
If they don't, we won't find out who they are. And they're going to keep attacking. This is the one time we have a heads up on their plan. They take me, and you all will be prepared to follow.
I can be in a nearby tree. I can stay high enough that they won't see me and I won't lose her. There will be absolutely no risk of me losing her.
And you two can be in the parking lot in the car. Hell, we can even rent a car so they won't know it's yours. You follow us, and worst case, if you can't keep up, Rosemary can text you the location when they stop.
You expect me to be okay with you being used as bait? There's no way this is gonna happen. Tell her, Killian.
I'm not thrilled about it, but Dove has a point. This may be the only chance we have the upper hand. We're clueless, and this could lead us straight to the organizer.
I'm not asking for permission. I will be doing this, because it's the best plan we have, and maybe the only time we'll have this kind of advantage. They've been one step ahead of us the whole way. They'll be arrogant and not expect it.
So that's the plan. I promise, Griffin, I won't lose her. And I'll be watching over her so nothing bad happens.
The sound was still far away, but my blood ran cold. That was the sound of a falcon. The scent hadn't hit, and the noise was at least several miles away. Luckily, the falcon couldn't hear us, as birds don't have exceptional hearing like wolves and angels, but their vision was better. We need to get out of here before that falcon finds us. Rosemary, when you get back to Griffin's, we can make more concrete plans. It's probably better if Carter doesn't know the details in case anyone comes poking around ahead of time.
True.
Rosemary picked up Carter, throwing him over her shoulder as her black wings sprouted from her back.
What the?
She placed a hand over his mouth as his eyes grew wide. She took flight, using the trees as cover, flying in the opposite direction from the bird. She flapped her wings hard and disappeared from our sights within seconds.
That was one way of handling it.
At least she knew to stay hidden. But we better change the subject and head back to the navigator.
Shouldn't we stay out here for a little while? Not that I want to.
The bird could be leading others over to attack us. Maybe they caught on that Carter was alerting us to their plans and this was the true strategy.
You're right.
Let me take the lead. You're the one they're after, so please let me lead with Killian following you.
Griffin moved in front, not bothering to wait for my answer. I wanted to argue, because he'd only pretended to run that by me, but we didn't have time to spare. All it would potentially do was put us in more danger, and I cared too much about these two to let pride get in my way. I swallowed the hurt feelings, even though the lump in my throat refused to go down. Being an alpha wolf myself, I didn't like people taking decisions away from me. I stayed between the two men, focusing on getting back to the car. We moved at a much quicker pace than we had when entering the woods, so if the bird caught up to us, we'd be safely around others. The sound of the falcon was much closer because he did have the advantage of traveling through the sky, but he wasn't gaining as much on us as he might expect. The three of us were comfortable in nature, and even in unfamiliar territory, we could cover a lot of ground quickly. We were nearing the lake with the bears and the vampires. Right now, they'd be a welcome sight, even with the vampires' hateful expressions. When the trees began to thin, my heart returned to a normal rhythm. We would definitely make it back before anyone could attack. Sprinting even faster, we reached the tree line in minutes. Griffin slowed down before the other supernaturals could see us. They'd probably heard our approach, but that shouldn't seem odd due to the kind of supernaturals we were. The only thing that might seem strange was the short amount of time we'd been gone. Wolves tended to enjoy running for a while, not minutes. As expected, the vampires looked at us with varying, puzzled expressions. One was visibly upset, stroking his short beard while watching us the entire way to the vehicle. The three of us pretended to not notice their stares, our focus on getting to the navigator. When my hand clutched the door handle, the falcon flew overhead. Unable to stop myself, I looked up and saw a mostly white-feathered falcon. He didn't seem to be paying any attention to us as he swooped down toward the bear shifter couple, who were locked in a lingering kiss. He landed right in the girl's thick black hair, causing her to jerk back and swat at him.
Ollie! What the hell?
As I climbed into the vehicle, my body sagged in the seat. I was so paranoid every bird shifter was potentially evil. That was how prejudice started. But right now, we had to be careful. When this was all over, I would befriend some bird shifters and prove to myself that most of them were good. Dad had told me over and over that the main problem with our supernatural world was that we were still segregated. We lived independently from one another and came together only when necessary. When I first got to Shadow Ridge, I'd found his words hard to believe, especially since that first day at the university. The place was full of all kinds of supernaturals, and I knew the council was a mixed bag as well. But the longer I stayed, the more his words began to make sense. Each race was fighting for their best interests and not for the greater good of the community. Shadow City had started as a refuge, but when the angels took over, they'd recruited and let in only the strongest supernaturals in the world. The original intent of a safe haven had been thrown out the door.
All that, and he came to hang out with bear shifters. I'm not complaining, though. I'd rather we be severely risk-averse and alive instead of the alternative.
Now that's something we agree on. I feel like we haven't been on the same page lately.
Why? Because of Carter?
That's the only thing you two disagree on, so please stop. I don't have the energy to listen to you bicker like an old married couple again. No one responded, and Griffin placed his hand on my thigh.
You better be glad I love you, because if I didn't, I might accuse you of taking his side.
I've made it clear that I agree with him on this one.
Yeah, I know.
He watched the road once again, and the rest of the ride was silent. Back in the living room, Griffin paced in front of the couch and loveseat.
Where the hell is she? You'd think she'd be back by now.
Chill. I've only been here for 10 minutes, and you've already got me so tense that I might snap at any second.
Sierra plopped next to me on the loveseat, taking Griffin's usual spot. She smelled of grease from her shift at the bar.
That's my spot.
You weren't sitting here. That means it's fair game.
Moments like these were my favorite. These were the small pockets of time when things felt almost normal. They were the ones that gave me enough hope and strength to waddle through the shit, a little bit of clarity among the chaos. Killian entered the room with a burger Sierra had brought for him.
Did you roll around in the fryer before coming here? We could smell the grease on you before you even walked in.
Don't hate. Unlike you two, some of us have to serve bar food in order to make ends meet.
Hey, we work hard too. It's a full-time job keeping this one alive. I swear I've never worked this hard, even when Dad was alive.
Does that mean when things calm down, you're officially going to take over? The both of you?
Starlin and I have already discussed this. When we've taken down the enemy, we're going to continue Dad's original plans and make some of our own.
Really? I love this. You two will make a fierce team. Honestly, you're the one I'm excited to see lead. You keep his head on straight. And girl power.
I'm standing right here.
Oh, she knows. She's trying to get a rise out of you.
True, but I did mean it. Now what about you, Killian?
Yeah, I think it's time I stop being afraid. It's important that we protect this part of Shadow City, and with Griffin and Sterling in charge, I feel like it's time for me to step up and take my rightful place. How do you think Billy is going to take it?
He'll be dancing the Macarena.
You think so?
Don't get me wrong. He's been a great leader in your absence, but he doesn't have that alpha edge. You'll be fine. He is an amazing second hand. Your dad always said so.
Feet landed outside the back door and Rosemary entered the house.
What the hell took you so long?
Excuse me? I did hear thank you and how did everything go, right?
No, you did not.
Yeah, he might not have said it, but I will. Thank you. I hope Carter didn't drive you too insane on the flight back to wherever you dropped him off.
No, it went fine. Covering his mouth was something I should have done from the get-go, and I may have given him a little hint of what could happen if I have to take him somewhere again and he screams.
What did you do?
I may have dropped him from 10 feet up when he whimpered loudly. I can't handle him being a freaking lunatic anymore. I think he learned his lesson.
Did he get hurt?
No, it may have stung a little when his feet hit the ground. No biggie.
Can we focus here? We need to make sure we have a solid plan for tomorrow. I am personally against this plan, but obviously I'm outvoted.
Outvoted doesn't matter. I'm the one putting my life at risk.
Exactly.
What about that bird?
Rosemary snatched Killian's burger from his hands. She took a large bite out of it before handing it back to him and sitting on the other side of the couch. He blinked several times, looking from his burger to the angel.
What the hell just happened?
What? I'm hungry.
I brought you a burger too. It's in the kitchen.
Thank God, because that's really good.
It's from Dick's, which I hate to say, but see, if you angels tried some of the Shifter restaurants, you might find that you like them.
We're pretty sure the Falcon wasn't spying or scouting us out. He playfully attacked a bear shifter couple who were making out.
Okay, good. But I'll be careful and go to campus early to scan for any suspicious birds or anything else before I hide in a tree. We all need to take precautions.
We rented a car on the way home and parked it in the lot. Killian and Sierra will get there early as well, and I'll sneak over after walking Sterling in like normal.
Good. That's key. We have to make everything appear completely normal.
So I play the part of the unsuspecting target.
How the hell is Carter going to pull off you taking out the garbage? I mean, every business that serves food takes the garbage out each night. How is he going to justify a morning trash run?
That isn't my problem.
It's Carter. You can't count on him to figure out something like that. He's an idiot.
In all fairness, he did get me into the supply closet and drug me. I'm sure we can find something to throw out. Griffin's mesmerizing eyes locked with mine as his feelings of anxiety and worry slammed into me.
Can I talk to you alone?
Of course. I stood, wishing I could tell him no, but I couldn't. I knew how concerned he was about this plan, and I needed to hear him out. I just hoped the rest of our night wouldn't be ruined. I followed Griffin into our bedroom while the other two stayed with Rosemary as she ate her dinner. Luckily, we'd eaten our food prior to Rosemary getting here. Well, correction, Killian and I ate while Griffin glared at him. I could feel how much this all bothered him, but there wasn't a damn thing I could do about it. When I looked at it from every angle, this strategy was what I kept coming back to. When I entered the room, Griffin shut the door behind me a little too hard. The doorframe shuddered at the force. I'd been expecting his outburst, having felt it brewing inside him ever since Carter made the call, informing us that the enemy had contacted him. For a second, I'd falsely hoped that we wouldn't argue. Hell, we hadn't officially had our first fight. I guess that changed now.
I want you to call this off. This is a bad decision. You being captured isn't the right answer.
His hazel eyes darkened to all brown, as if the warm green flecks had simply disappeared. I kept a clear head and didn't react as I wanted to because I had to put myself in his shoes. If he'd suggested using himself as bait, I wouldn't be thrilled either. In fact, I would be doing everything possible to find a different course of action. But unlike him, I would see the plan for what it was, our best chance. This, again, went back to him not having the same battle strategy training I'd had my entire life. Without that training on his side, I would have to help him see things in a different light. Okay, then what do you suggest?
Well, I can get Dick involved and see if he can help us find the culprit.
Damn it. I understood his gut reaction, but I needed to figure out a way to help him decide that it wasn't a good idea to include that bastard. So, you want to put the person who is currently running Shadow City at risk, and potentially lose not one council member, but two? I'm not sure he has our best interests at heart. I have a feeling about him.
Fine. Okay. I trust you. Then we wait until they contact Carter again when he doesn't deliver you. Maybe you can say that was an odd morning request and you have other things to do.
They won't give Carter a second chance. And he would be more likely to inform them that we knew the plans and that he was compromised in order to save his brother. Not to mention, his brother probably will lose a hand, or worse. Then they could attack us again, knowing that we lost our temporary advantage over them.
Then we fight. And you can stay somewhere safe like Shadow City in the meantime.
And leave others here to fight when these people are coming for me? What kind of leader would that make me? If we want to lead Shadow City side by side, that strategy is the worst option. No one would respect me or be able to view me as their alpha, or hell, even the alpha's mate.
Who fucking cares? At least you'd be alive and safe.
My wolf growled, infuriated that he'd spoken to us that way. We weren't his pack member, but his equal. If I wanted to, I could force him to submit to me. But the Silver Wolves weren't meant to lead regular wolves. They were meant to lead the other protectors and make the calls that were the most difficult to make. War strategies. Like these. But I would never talk down to him and insult him that way, even if he had just done that to me. His reaction stemmed from emotions and caring. A good place, even if it was uncalled for. Look, I can only imagine what you're feeling. But your people not respecting me isn't an option. My dad raised me to be the kind of warrior that people would respect. And what you're asking me to do is something that would make him turn over in his grave.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But the thought of you walking into something and getting hurt when I could have done something to prevent it, it almost paralyzes me.
But you have to know this is the strategy that makes the most sense. And asking me not to do it isn't right. I get that we're mates, but I'm still an individual who believes this is the best decision. I'm not trying to be a martyr. I don't have a death wish. In fact, because of you, I'm determined to make it out of this alive. But I need you to trust me and my instincts.
You weren't supposed to argue with me or use logic.
I'll always listen to your concerns. I love you. He ran his fingers through my hair and kissed me. The feelings of love between the two of us intermingled as we opened to each other to show how much we cared. He pulled back, locking onto my gaze.
You are something I never prepared for. Had I known what was tugging at me that morning in the coffee shop, I would have tried not to be such an ass to you. You didn't deserve to be talked to that way.
Our first conversation was not a good way to introduce yourself, but I wouldn't have it any other way. After all, I got to tell you right away that I wouldn't take that shit from you.
I didn't know how to react. I never had a girl shoot me down like that before. And then Killian walked in, marking his territory. I almost tore him a new asshole right then and there.
At least you didn't pee on me.
Oh, believe me, I thought about it.
He grabbed my waist and hoisted me onto my back on the bed before crawling on top of me. He took both of my wrists and placed them beside my head, holding me in place.
In fact, maybe I should do it now.
You've bitten me. I think we're good.
Better safe than sorry.
He raked his teeth against my neck. My body heated between being restrained and the slight pain.
I'm okay with how you're making sure.
This time, we get to go slow.
He sucked hard, making his intentions of leaving a hickey obvious. For some reason, the fact that he wanted to mark me thrilled me. The bruise would be gone by morning, but the effort he put forth for even a temporary branding excited me in ways I'd never imagined. His hands slipped under my shirt. I inhaled sharply as the two sensations overwhelmed my senses.
Is this okay?
I nodded, not able to speak even in my mind. He kissed his way down my neck slowly and lifted my shirt. His mouth replaced his fingers as his teeth scraped against me. I tried pushing against him, but his hand kept me secured in place. Instead of loosening his grip, he bit down, which had me bucking beneath him. Take me.
No, not yet. I'll be in agony tomorrow. So it's your turn tonight.
What the hell? I couldn't believe that he'd say something like that. But then his tongue began to work, making my mind foggy. Need flowed through me, short-circuiting my brain. He released the hold on one of my wrists and rolled to the side as his hand slid down to my jeans and unbuttoned them. The glorious torture of his mouth and hand was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. My body quivered with powerful desire.
Griffin, please.
He removed his hand and stood, dragging my pants away from my body as he moved. After they lay crumpled on the floor, he discarded his own. He pulled his shirt from his body, and I enjoyed watching his six-pack contract. My mate was the sexiest man I'd ever seen, and the fact that he was all mine added to the lust coursing through me. I lifted high enough so I could yank my shirt off. I wanted to feel his skin on mine. It was the best sensation in the world. Ready for him, I moved to spin around, but he caught my waist, holding me in place.
I get to be in control this time.
Throwing my head back, I wrapped my legs around his waist. I thought the emotions coming fast and furious couldn't be matched, but this was intense in a different kind of way. No matter how I tried to quicken the pace, he held firm. The sensation strengthened inside me, overwhelming me. I dug my fingers into his back, and a sharp metallic smell hit me as warm drops of blood puddled under my nails.
Oh, God!
My body contracted as the strongest release shook me. My head went light, and my vision blurred. He slowed as we both came down from our shared high.
I told you you'd call me that.
It took a second for his meaning to sink in. That first time he saw me, he told me I'd be calling him God later that night. I smacked his arm, rolling him off me.
Oh, you'd better be glad I love you.
Oh, I am. I'm happier about that than you'll ever know.
The next morning, Griffin walked me into the coffee shop. His grip on my hand was extra tight, mirroring the fear and anxiety that riddled him. We'd enjoyed our night together, but his chaotic emotions had woken me up this morning. If I were a betting person, I'd put money on him not having slept at all.
Hey, Rosemary called and told us she doesn't see or sense anything out of the ordinary, and she's in the tree. Killian and Sierra are in the rental car, and you'll be with them soon.
Just promise me that if anything we haven't prepared for happens, you'll let me know, and that you'll be okay with me stepping in if there's any indication that we won't be able to follow you, or if the danger escalates.
As long as you make sure it's not you being overly paranoid.
Really?
I trust you. So if you truly believe something isn't going as expected, then do what you feel like you need to. I kissed him and forced myself to walk behind the counter and put on an apron.
Oh, look. Your boyfriend is here. Again.
Mate.
You two be nice. One day you're going to wind up friends.
Fat chance.
You need to leave. I know it's hard, but after today, this should all be over.
I love you. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my entire life, and it proves I'm willing to do anything for you.
You proved it the time you jumped in front of that gun to protect me.
And that wasn't a hard decision at all. You better come home to me.
He pivoted and walked out the door. I'd prepared to get hurt and be put in threatening situations, but I hadn't been prepared for how damn hard it would be to watch Griffin walk away. Even though I knew this was the best strategy, there was a chance that I might not see him again.
Hey, Dove. I forgot to take out one of the trash bags yesterday afternoon. Would you run it out back before the others get here? I hate for them to think it's okay to slack off.
My heart sank. His request had come sooner than we'd planned. They changed the time on him. I'm heading out to the dumpster now.
What? I'm not in the car yet. Take as long as you can so I can get there. I need 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. They texted me a few minutes ago.
We need to abort. They could be suspicious.
No, they're just being careful. It's something I would do if I were them. It's smart. I took the bag from Carter.
Okay, but I won't cover for your ass again.
I walked through the kitchen, taking my time. Are you there yet?
Yes, I just got into the car. I wasn't followed. I went out a side door I never use. Killian started the car. We're ready.
All right. It was time.